So the great wealth that becomes the inheritance of the servants of the Mahabhagavats is their qualities. Not anything mundane of this world. Yesterday we were in Melakote and I mentioned to Sridhar Swami, who was there, I said, generally people worship Yoga Nisringa. I read in one book called Shaligram Kosh, Yoga Nisringa gives liberation and material benefit. Or first material benefits, then liberation. So that's why so popular. So there are many nice temples, deities of Lord Nisringadev, but and some of them are so old, like the one in Melakote is traced back to Prahlad. So Prahlad is a Mahabhagavat. Not only a Mahabhagavat, he's a Mahajan. Amongst the Mahabhagavats, he's a Maha. He's a Mahajan. One of the 12 very exalted personalities who know the real purport of the scriptures and the process of devotion. Very rare to know these things in their entirety, and Prahlad is one of them, and he is said to have installed that deity initially. But whether any pure devotees of Krishna worship that deity between then and now, that is a question. Of course Ramanuja did at a time, but generally, the people were doing the worship of the Supreme Lord for some material benefit. Material benefits. And then lastly, liberation. Liberation is itself a material benefit. You follow? So, liberation, when Prahlad himself, Lord Nisringadev offers liberation, but Prahlad rejected that liberation. Lord Nisringadev insisted and offered three times to Prahlad liberation. And each time, Prahlad rejected that liberation. He never accepted liberation. And if one is and material benefits also, not accepting material benefits. So these are material things: liberation, so many facilities of this world. These are material benefits. So this is not the wealth of worshiping the Supreme Lord. This is not the great fortune which will come to you. Actually, this is not the fortune that comes to you if you are engaged in the service of Vaishnavas and great devotees. And if you are looking for those things, then you are simply walking down a dark, dark tunnel that leads to nowhere. The real benefit in serving the great souls and glorifying the great souls is that we will imbibe some of their qualities. Actually, we will feel very blessed if we can imbibe even a fraction of their qualities. Even a fraction of their love for Krishna. If we can imbibe that, then we'll feel ourselves to be the most fortunate souls in this universe. Someone asked me, "You have experienced love of God in a challenging way?" And I said, "Yes," in an arrogant way. I said, "Yes." And they responded like, "Oh, really?" In a sarcastic way. First challenge, then arrogance, then sarcasm. "Yeah, you have experienced love of God?" And I said, "Yes, of course." Then, "Oh, you're such a man, huh?" "Yes, why not?" I said, "But... you see, I was not the source of that love. But when I came in connection with my guru, and when I came in connection with certain other great liberated souls, they were absorbed in love of Krishna. And entering the room where they were, or being with them at some choice or select moment, then that great nectar, it just splashed out." Like if you're near a waterfall, you may also get splashes from that. So coming into their association, we may have some experience of what they are experiencing in some small way. Then the secret is, if we serve them, if we offer ourselves as servant to their lotus feet, then we are guaranteed that we will enter into that experience. Nowadays, in at least in some places, there's only one pure devotee. That is Prabhupada. And it is so extreme that nobody else could even dream of becoming a pure devotee. But if that's the case, we might as well all pack it up and go home. Because that's why we come to Krishna consciousness in the first place. Not to become the guru, but to become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's why we join. Because the non-pure devotee of Krishna, he's suffering in this material world. And we want to end the suffering in this material world. We're tired of roaming around in various species of life in this world. We're even tired within this human form of life. There are so many disappointments. We're tired of these things. And we want the eternal life, the good life of serving Krishna and all these things that are associated with Krishna consciousness. And that means, in a word, we want to become pure devotees of Krishna. So if we will take up the service of those great souls, then we have a very good chance of becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. One never becomes a pure devotee of Krishna without serving a pure devotee of Krishna. There are some cases where the great souls appear in this world. And even then, we find they are serving their gurus. They are serving, like Bhaktivinod Thakur. Bhaktivinod Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, have both been taken by very great personalities to be descended personalities. Not raised on the ascending process, but descended personalities. They came to this world from the spiritual sky, from the Leela of Krishna. Just like you see that cover of our Parampara book, there's one Sankirtan party is going on Mahaprabhu at Rath Yatra. You know the book? Right? And then the photo of Bhaktisiddhanta is just inset there. The meaning is he came from that Kirtan party. He's not someone of this world who by many lifetimes gradation of pious activities and so forth and coming up and Sukriti and finally then contacting some preaching and lifetimes later becoming a disciple and gradually going upwards. He's taken as a personality who's come out from the spiritual world and come here with a message. Srila Sridhar Maharaj once said he went, I don't know if it may have been after his guru's disappearance or sometime, he heard there are many Siddha Mahatmas. Siddha Mahatmas. That means perfected souls in Vrindavan. So he went around to see a few of them. What is this Siddha Mahatma? People are telling he's Siddha Mahatma, perfected Atma. So he went around to see a few of them. And in most cases, he was sorely disappointed and nothing was there, really. But in one or two, and he mentioned one particularly, the person was very impressive. So he listened and he saw him for some time. Srila Sridhar Maharaj was a younger, much younger man then, maybe 30, 35 years old, something like that. And then he said, I realized that this person was giving his very best to the rules and regulations that govern the devotional world. He was practicing them to the utmost of his ability and trying to reach up to that spiritual platform, and he was, of course, significantly elevated. He said, but at the same time, I realized that my Guru Maharaj has stepped off of that platform down to this world, and he carries the message, the goodwill of all living entities. There's a difference of trying to go up. It's like trying to crawl out of a well, as opposed to someone extending themselves in to the well. Or another example is the prison. Sometimes the warden or the person in charge or someone to do some work for the prisoners, he enters the prison. He comes from the free world by his own choice, by arrangement of the state. He goes inside the prison to reform them. Inside the prison, there are prisoners. They are reforming. They are following the rules. They want to get out of the prison. They are following the program for improvement. Other prisoners are committing more crimes inside the prison. But this person from outside, he comes down, he enters the prison to reform them. Now, fools may think, you know, he's in the prison just like me. But actually, he's not in the prison. He's not under the laws of the prison. And at a chosen time, he returns to his place, which is beyond the prison walls. He has come out from that place to be there, to help them, and he goes back to that place. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he said, he expressed his realization, how his Guru Maharaj has come down with that message of Mahaprabhu to benedict the fallen souls of this world. It's a particular situation. Nobody looks at their guru as a conditioned soul. If you look at your guru as a conditioned soul, then either, one, you don't have a guru actually, or two, you're making offense. One of the two. You cannot see your guru as a conditioned soul. Either he came down from that place to do this work, or he came up to that place to do this work. It's difficult to say. But sometimes we have that information. Don't be mistaken. I didn't come down from that place to do this work. I came up to this place to do this work. And for the most part, most of the followers of Mahaprabhu in this world, they do like that. They come up to this platform to do this work of Mahaprabhu and will be taken by their grace back to home, back to Godhead for doing this work. And anyone who takes up the work of Mahaprabhu and the service of Mahaprabhu and the service of his devotees is guaranteed the same thing. But there are some. We speak of Srila Prabhupada as having come from the spiritual sky, but nobody knows where he came from. Whereas Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we know his name, an eternal Leela, he's Kamala Manjari. And Bhakti Siddhanta is Nayanamani Manjari. But after that, we don't know. We feel that they've come there, from there. Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Puri Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. We feel that. But who they were there, it is not known. But who Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, Bhaktivinoda Thakur there, who Bhakti Siddhanta was, who they were, and came down from the spiritual sky with Mahaprabhu's mission. It's known who they were there in Krishna Leela. And also some things are said about them in Chaitanya Leela also. So, by serving our Guru, by serving the Vaishnavas, by serving these great souls, we will then enter into the realm of pure devotional service. And we will find that the qualities that attracted us to them, we will also imbibe these qualities. Without imbibing those qualities, then we have not been successful in Krishna consciousness. So therefore it is said one should look to himself in time, not all you young, very young devotees, young children and all, but the adults, you should start to see, well, how much I'm improving my qualities. There are 26 qualities of a pure devotee. They're listed in several books, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Nectar Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, maybe some other places. We should look to see from time to time if we ourselves are developing any of these qualities. And if we find that we're not, then we should try to increase our earnestness within our heart, our sincerity. Because lack of sincerity, if lack of sincerity is there, like lack of purpose. Srila Vishnu Maharaj said, a lack of purpose. We must be clear on our purpose. Why we have come here. What is our purpose here? Nothing to be gained. We have come here to give. We have come here only to give ourselves to serve Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Not to gain anything. We take it that whatever we get here, whatever is given to us, that is their mercy. Nothing gained. There's a saying, nothing risked, nothing gained. We have another saying, everything risked, nothing gained. All risk, no gain. We're not for risk and then we will gain. We're for risk and no gain. We should not seek the praise of others. We should try to learn to give elegant praise to others. Not seek praises. We should not try to be recognized for our service, but we should try to learn to recognize others in their service. We should not feel that we are the best devotee of Krishna. We should feel that we can only serve Krishna with the help of others. That if Krishna's devotees were put in a line, we would be lucky to be on the list. We would only be listed amongst Krishna's devotees by their mercy. We would be taken there, listed there by their mercy. In the material world, everyone wants to raise their head, be proud. Everyone wants to be number one. Everyone wants to be praised. You know, you meet somebody and they, oh, this is Mr. So-and-so, he was MLA, he's this. They tell you all these things, what the person was, and the person's, they're just like this, you know. But for a devotee, he puts his head, no, sir, I'm nothing, nothing is there. But he's very happy to praise others. Very happy to praise others, praise the service of others, devotees. But not eager for his own praises. Remember that one politician came here. And the devotees introduced me. Oh, this is our Guruji. Something like that, they said. This is our Guru Maharaj here. They said like that. So that man folded his hands. I said, actually, I am the servant of all the devotees here. I am their servant. That is the meaning. If I am the Guru Maharaj, then that means I am the servant of all the devotees here. But that man comes from just Hindu society, and he never heard anything like that. Remember that man? Which one was that? Vijay Shankar. And he was very impressed by that. Somehow or another, he's met so many Gurujis, maybe big ones, little ones, all types. This is Guruji. Guruji gives a blessing. When he said, this is Guru Maharaj, then Guru Maharaj said, actually, I'm the servant of all the devotees here. And then he, I don't know which way, maybe he thought like Gandhi or something. I don't know. But he got some impression. So the real standard of spiritual life is not everywhere available. What's the standard look of a guru? A big sikha, big japa mala, beard, long hair, rudraksha. Most people have the image of a guru based on Bollywood. In India, Sri Gopal's mother told him, "No, all these gurus are bad. You've seen the movies. You've seen." She actually made her reference the movies. Yeah, I've seen the movies. All these gurus are bad. So the image of the guru in Indian movie is he's either a crook or a fool. He's one of the two. And in Western culture, he's a fool. Anytime they make a movie about a saint, he's a fool. He acts like an idiot. Because the common people don't know what a saint is. But he is neither a fool nor an idiot. He knows the science of Krishna and he's the abode of all good qualities. He's always absorbed in the service of Krishna and the service of the Vaishnavas. And he does not do any of these things for material benefits. So if we want that standard of purity, then we must serve those great souls. We must glorify those great souls. And by association, then gradually we'll become purified. And these qualities which we find in them, they are actually intrinsic to the soul. The soul has a birthright of these qualities. But in association of the material world, the soul can never know its true self. It can never come to its true existence. But only in the association of liberated souls, then the soul can come to its own true existence, in which the soul itself is the abode of all good qualities. And the soul is always absorbed in the service of Krishna. And the soul is always absorbed in the mellows of love of Krishna. So we were very fortunate, and many of you were very fortunate, to have the direct association of Srila Puri Maharaj at different times. Over the years, even some of the children got his association there. Little Vani, mostly Vapu, this boy, very fortunate, he touched Srila Puri Maharaj's lotus feet. He got a chance. That is called Vapu. Vapu Seva. The other side is Vani. So when the Vapu is no longer present, the Vapu appears, Gurudev appears, Vyasa Puja Day appears. Then some years, 100 years, that's very nice, 102 years, that's very nice. Then that goes from the vision of these eyes. We don't see that anymore. But the Vani is there. The Vani means the instruction. We must live by the Vani, even in the living time of our Guru. Most devotees, historically, don't actually get to spend that much time with their Guru. Like here I'm living with all of you, and you have spent hundreds and hundreds of hours with me. Most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples never got a chance to talk to him. Many of Srila Sridhar Maharaj's disciples, they never got a chance to talk to him. Some of them lived with him for 40 years. You see? But one thing is common, shared by both, those who have had a lot of association and service of their guru and those who haven't. Actually, the two things that are common is all have service, either close or at a distance. All must be engaged in service. In both categories, both must take the instruction, the order of their guru, the teachings of their guru as their life and soul, the Vani. One may not have personal service, but if he follows the Vani, he'll be successful. If one does not follow the Vani, but yet has personal service, sometimes he gets classified as a fly. Because a fly is very close physically to the guru, but he's just an irritation. Of the two, the Vani is most important. Following the instructions, learning the teachings, following the order, this is most important. If we have chance to serve our guru personally in some way, I always like to remember the service that I had for Srila Prabhupada on different occasions, or a little bit service of Srila Sridhar Maharaj on some even less occasions, or some service to Srila Puri Maharaj. But that thing which is most important is their instruction. And their instruction has come to us in two ways. One by their words and the other by their example. We try to draw from both of these things. And this is the life, this is the strength to go on in this world, this material world, to go on living a spiritual life. And not succumb to the plane of Maya. Do you follow? So Srila Puri Maharaj lived 100 and some years, and although his mission was one of the smallest ones, this was what was amazing. At the time, his temple was smaller than this one, almost. When we first met Srila Puri Maharaj, the deities were in a room half the size of Nandakishore's office. There were eight rooms in the building. There were four and four. And the deities were on the top. It was a little building in Mayapur, right? And later, some temple was being built, right? Srila Puri Maharaj was in that little hut. And that building was as wide as this hall. It was a little longer than this hall in two stories. That's all the bigger it was. Yet people from great institutions, even like ISKCON, Sridhar Swami, who was here, he came and Srila Puri Maharaj and got Nisringa Mantra from him many years ago. Big gurus in ISKCON, Giri Maharaj, and he was still a student, used to come with Gurukul, sannyasis and others, they would come see Srila Puri Maharaj. Big acharyas of Gaudiya Math, Madhava Maharaj's successor, Balab Tirtha Maharaj, with 1,000 disciples. Many people, they would come for the darshan of Srila Puri Maharaj. But his deity room, his own room, very, 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 very small. These are all very intelligent people. The average people, they're walking right past Srila Puri Maharaj and they're going up to ISKCON because it's big, or they're going to another big Gaudiya Math because it's big. It has a big gate with lights, so they go there. And they walked, thousands of people every day just walked right past Srila Puri Maharaj. It is a small hut. Let's go to the big temple. But many very intelligent devotees, even they themselves, were the heads of those big temples, big institutions, and had many, many success stories. in their Krishna conscious lives, they had the good intelligence and the good fortune to come and take the inspiring darshan of Srila Puri Maharaj. So both by his example and by his teachings, he was a beacon. He was a very great source of inspiration to all types and classes of devotees at all stages. And the two things are noted in him. Well, if you start noting two, then you have to admit there are actually three, there are four, there are five, there are so many exalted qualities. But two things I heard many times him referenced to as a Namacharya. His attachment to the holy name and his mood of chanting the holy name was exemplary even for those who are themselves great personalities in Krishna consciousness. And his humility was outstanding to the point he was referred to by many people as the Murti of Trinadapi Sunichena. That is Mahaprabhu's instruction to his devotees to be humble, more tolerant than a tree, humble like a blade of grass, not desiring any respect for yourself, but giving all your respect to others. Srila Puri Maharaj was not just on occasion humble. He was humility personified. There is no incident that people can even think of in hard scratching their head where humility was not in the forefront of all his dealings with the devotees. So these two things. He was very glorified as a Namacharya, an example of chanting the holy name, and his humility. And if a person has these two outstanding qualities, then without even knowing what other good qualities are, rest assured that all good qualities that exist are with such a person. A person with all humility who takes complete shelter of the holy name of Krishna is the veritable ocean of goodness and all good qualities. So we should try to be like that. We should take deep shelter of the holy name, and we should try to put into practice in our life the qualities of Vaishnava behavior. What is that called, Giri Maharaj? Saduchar. Not that we would just do prachar, go and shout with a loud voice to the ignorant people that they are suffering and tell them to take Krishna Nam. We ourselves must take Krishna Nam. And then we must exhibit the qualities of a devotee. What is it? What is the real meaning of devotee and behavior of devotee? We should try to exhibit that. And when we fail, then we should pray to Krishna to purify us from our failings. We should pray to our guru to purify us from our failings so that we may come to the standard of pure devotion and pure love of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Gopinath.